Our scripture comes from John 14, verses 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Good morning. Our numbers are a little few. I'm sure that's because of the holidays. But thank you, Sherman, and thank you to the family here for helping us with song service. That was wonderful. And especially that opening song. That was good. Okay, the subject that I've chose for today, as you can tell, is who's the Holy Spirit or what is the Holy Spirit? In my sermon today, we're going to take a look at the Bible, biblical truth that through Christ, the Holy Spirit is God's answer for our world. Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, great is thy faithfulness to us. We are so thankful for the things that you do give to us. We are especially thankful for the Godhead, for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will be here with us today to open our hearts and minds, and I pray that the words that I have to say today come from you. In thy name we ask it. Amen. From our scripture today, you can tell that I'll be using John 14, 16 through 18 as introduction to this message, and I'd like to repeat it. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. And how unfortunate. But you know him, for he dwells in you, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Praise God. Today we take a look at what the special connection of the Holy Spirit was with the Son of God through Christ's ministry here on earth. Then we will study the role of the Holy Spirit as he works in perfect harmony and identity with Christ in connection with our salvation. The overall objective of this message is to show what the role of the Holy Spirit is, Christ's personal representative. In illustrating this through Scripture, we shall notice the perfect interaction between Christ and the Helper that he promised us. This interaction was and is so perfect that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are often referred to interchangeably. Whoop, come back here. Almost lost my place. The interaction was and is so perfect that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are often referred to interchangeably or synonymously. However, this is not to suggest that they are the same person, but rather to show their perfect harmony. We will specifically study Jesus' earthly dependence on this divine member of the Godhead. And finally, we will see that our dependency on the Holy Spirit is synonymous with dependency on Jesus himself. It is Christ's way of making himself present in us. To start off, I've divided this into 5 points that we'll take a look at. First point, Jesus' earthly sojourn was dependent on the Holy Spirit. As we begin this topic, the following important point needs to be kept in mind. During his earthly mission, Jesus chose to be completely dependent on the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Yet this dependency did not in any way exclude or shut out the Father. Instead, the Holy Spirit was the means or the agency by which the Father worked for and through his Son. So let's keep that relationship in mind. Number two, Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit at his birth. One of the most difficult areas in the comprehending the virgin birth of Jesus was the role that the Holy Spirit played. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, clear states that the Holy Spirit played a key role. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his father Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to keep her away secretly, put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is in the Holy Spirit. We cannot, of course, understand these details, but when remembering the Holy Spirit's active role in the creation of the world, that he moved on the face of the waters, then it would follow that the Holy Spirit must have also been the active agent in the creation of the human form of Jesus. And so, even at birth, Jesus was dependent on the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Point three, Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit at his baptism. According to Scripture, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were shown as being in very close relationship at his baptism. It was at this central event that the Holy Spirit descended in full measure upon Jesus. Notice in John 1, verses 32 and 33, it says, And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Unquote. There the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father to guide the Savior in his earthly sojourn, to enable Jesus in his humanity by making available to him the very same divine power that is now also available to each and every one of us. Point four. Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. If you read both Mark 1, verse 2, or verse 12, and Luke 4, verse 1, you'll notice here the specific leading of the Holy Spirit in the wilderness temptation experience. It is clear from these passages that the Holy Spirit was directing the activities of the Savior day by day. Why does this need to be? Because Jesus knew that human nature was not capable of depending solely on his own wisdom and power. If one so holy, so perfect, so pure, so wise as Jesus was so submissive to this divine leading, should not we, who are so less than all these attributes, recognize that we must cherish the same submission to the divine leading of God of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Point four, Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit to do good. The Scriptures record that Jesus went about doing good. In other words, in his life there was daily evidence that divinity was shining through him. He healed the sick, the lame, the blind. He brought comfort to the sorrowing, spoke truth to the searching. He was always kind, courteous, and tender-hearted. Even the scathing rebuke that he sometimes found it necessary to give, he gave with tears in his voice. Truly, Jesus went about doing good. Have you ever wished that every thought you thought, every word you spoke, every action, every expression on your face were like Jesus? I know I do. Have you ever felt a longing desire that you could respond in all situations just like Jesus did? They would. The key is the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly why Jesus came, to make it possible. And he not only came to show that it is possible, but he also wants us to become acquainted with the how, or in other words, the who. Notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Can you see then that it was specifically because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was enabled as a human being to do these things? Our doing good, our radiating the love of Jesus in every facet of our lives is not the result of more determined effort on our part to try harder to do good. Oh no. But rather, it is the result of being consciously dependent on our helper, the Holy Spirit, who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's found in Philippians 2, verse 13. The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, commissioned to bring to us the presence and the experience of Jesus. In John 16, 14 and 15, Jesus spoke clearly what the role of the Holy Spirit was. In quoting those verses, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This assurance of the Helper was given by Jesus for his disciples for all time in order to assure us that he would not leave us as helpless orphans, but rather, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was promised to dwell in each one of us. In reality, this would make him closer to each one than if he had remained bodily here on earth. Notice the following three quotations which illustrate how completely the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' presence to us. Christ is represented by his Holy Spirit today in every part of his great moral vineyard. He will give the inspiration of his Holy Spirit to all those who are of a contrite spirit. And that comes from Testimonies to Ministers, page 215. The Holy Spirit is the breath of spiritual life in the soul. The impartation of the Spirit is the impartation of the life of Christ. It imbues the receiver with the attributes of Christ. And that comes from the Desire of Ages, page 805. To Jesus, who emptied himself for the salvation of lost humanity, the Holy Spirit was given without measure. So it will be given to every follower of Christ, when the whole heart is surrendered for his indwelling. And that's from the Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 21. I ask you, do you want this kind of relationship? Yes, amen. Do you desire to have an experience with the Savior that through his Spirit, he will actually imbue or live without you the very attributes of Christ? You can experience this day by day as you continue to claim the promise found in Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Remember, the Holy Spirit is there just for the asking. Before we can deal with the fact that the Holy Spirit of God's answer for life, for home, for effective witnessing, and thus for finished work, we must seek to learn his specific functions. The purpose of this message that I bring to you today is to show from inspiration who the Holy Spirit is, as far as it is possible for the human mind to grasp. And to do this not from logic or mere fact, but much more importantly, to understand this through the Christian's faith in Christ and his righteousness. Excuse me. Number one, the subject of the Holy Spirit. First of all, please note the great importance which the Savior placed upon the subject of the Holy Spirit. Quoting from Selected Messages, chapter 19, quoting, Christ, the great teacher, had an infinite variety of subjects from which to choose, but upon the one upon which he dwelt mostly largely was the endowment of the Holy Spirit. What great things he predicted for the church because of this endowment. Yet that subject is less dwelt upon now. What promise is less fulfilled? An occasional discourse is given upon the Holy Spirit. Then the subject is left for after consideration. As we contemplate this statement, we realize that more than 100 years after it was written, it still appears to be true today. Notice the following statement in which the servant of the Lord was shown even more graphically the need of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. In the book Selected Messages, page 109, Ellen White writes, quoting, I seem to be in a meeting presenting the necessity and importance of our receiving the Spirit. This was the burden of my labor, the opening of our hearts to the Holy Spirit. In my dream, a sentinel stood at the door of an important building and asked everyone who came for entrance, Have you received the Holy Ghost? A measuring line was in his hand, and only very, very few were admitted into the building. How much more do we need the divine presence of this gift which was purchased for us at an infinite cost? Our need is far greater than we imagined to bring about a finished work of character development within us individually, and through the latter rain to also affect this finished work that has been over 170 years in process. In reality, is still far from being completed today, unquote. Point number two, the great scriptural doctrine of the Trinity. We read in Genesis 1:1 that God created the heavens and the earth. Who was this God? In some places in Scripture, the reference is to Christ as the Creator. You can see in John 1 and in Colossians 1. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, it implies that the Father was the Creator, with Christ acting as a co-creator. And then, according to Genesis 1, it is the Spirit of God who was the active agent of creation. How do these passages harmonize? The secret is found in the first verse of the Bible, the word God. In this verse is a Hebrew word, Elohim, which is the plural form of the word and means two or more. Hence, all the passages are correct. And the scriptures are trying to tell us that all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, work together in the creation of our world. Let me illustrate this even further. The Old Testament includes many references which indicate that the heavenly Godhead consists of more than one person or personality. In Genesis 1:26, there are three personal pronouns, us, our, and our. Notice also that in Genesis 3:22 and Genesis 11:6 and 7, and also in Isaiah 6:8, it is obvious that there is definitely more than one personality indicated. In the New Testament, it is clear that there is more than one being intended for the truth of the divine Godhead, and that the Holy Spirit is included. Matthew 28:19-20 associates the Holy Spirit with God the Father and God the Son as their equal. It says, Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Trinity is not 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, but rather 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals one Godhead with separate personalities. Thus, the Holy Spirit is equally divine with the Father and the Son. Point three, the Holy Spirit is a person. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit is so mysterious is our thinking is because we think of him as it. However, he or him does not refer to the Holy Spirit as male in contrast to female, male in contrast to female, but rather to denote a personality. According to the Spirit of Prophecy, the Holy Spirit is a person, yet does not have a human personality. Notice the following inspired declaration. Quote, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person as God is a person, is walking through these grounds. That's from Evangelism, page 616. And in the Desire of Ages, page 669, it says, the Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, but divested of the personality of humanity and independent thereof, unquote. The following biblical references, which are ascribed to the Holy Spirit, indicating that he is a person, a divine person. He speaks. We find in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. He intercedes, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He testifies, John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He directs. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. He appoints. Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He can be lied to. Acts 5, verses 3 and 4, we find, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it is remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived that thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And he can be grieved. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Thus we see some of the emotions and actions which are characteristics of personality of the Holy Spirit. It should be clear that the Holy Spirit is not some mystical force or vague influence. Rather, he is a person with the attributes of a divine personality. We must here remember that in our desire to better understand the Holy Spirit, we must not even attempt to bring him down to our level. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He is God. Notice the following attributes possessed by divinity and specifically attributed to the Holy Spirit. Number one, he is omnipresent. That is, present everywhere. is omniscient, that is, he is all-knowing. Oh, and the first one, it can be found in Psalms 139, verse 7, and the second one from 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. He is called God, which you can find in Acts 5, verse 4. There is one very important point to remember whenever one attempts to understand the Holy Spirit. Of course, there must be much prayer, but especially in the study of the Holy Spirit. Inspiration declares the nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery. Men cannot explain it because the Lord has not revealed it to them. Regarding such mysteries, which are too deep for human understanding, silence is golden. And that comes from the Acts of the Apostles, page 52. Do you want this kind of relationship? Amen. Do you desire to have an experience with a Savior that through His Spirit He will actually imbue or live out within you the very attributes of Christ? Yes. You can experience this today, experience this day by day as you continue to claim the promise found in Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Remember, the Holy Spirit is there for the asking. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have brought before us this morning, that we may have a little more understanding of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, each and one, every one of us, that you will send the Holy Spirit into our lives to guide us and direct us, to show us what we need to do to bring about the second coming of Jesus. As we go our separate ways today, we pray that you will be with each and every one of us and keep us safe and bring us back here. In Christ's humble name we ask it. Amen.